Well, get your Bibles out. And if you would, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I said this a couple of weeks ago on Sunday morning, I believe that 2010 is the year that we're going to win. I believe it's a year of victory. I believe it's going to be a year of battles, but I believe it's a year of winning battles. So I don't mind fighting battles as long as I win. All right? I don't like long, extended, stressful stays of battle. I like to win sharp, decisive battles. You with me? We've been fighting enough long battles. We want a real victory, a real win. And I believe it's going to come in 2010. And I believe that all the things that are going on in our government is a smokescreen for what the devil really wants to do, but he's not going to get it done because there's going to be some Christians rise up, be the men and women of God that God called us to be, and we're going to go on in victory. I believe it's a year we're going to win a lot of souls. Going to see some great things. I feel encouraged that each and every place that we have a foothold with y'all in those towns, we're going to increase. You're going to start to see people come up to you in 2010 and ask you, where do you go to church? And that's going to be an opening for you to speak to them, talk to them about Jesus, and it's going to increase. I believe the church is going to increase, the size is going to increase. But the one thing I feel real strongly about that, and I don't mean this, you know, I mean, I really think that y'all, you know, the Wednesday night crowds, the people that are really sold out, I believe it's a year you're going to increase. You're going to increase in some of the areas that you've been wrestling with, things you've been wrestling with in your lives. You're going to find that it's going to go away, and you're just going to go on in life. You know, I've preached a message for years about that I believe that the walk that we walk with Jesus is not a walk on a flat plane. It's not you get saved and you're on a flat plane. I believe it's just like these steps right here. You walk piece of a flat plane, but then you come to a riser. That's what you call in between the step and the up. It's a riser. And you got to go up. You've got to rise. You've got to go up over that riser. And those are not the fun times in life. But those are the times that we learn. Those are the times that we grow. Those are the times that the adversities of life either make us or break us. And there's a lot of people in life that have just come to the first riser in their Christian walk because it was pretty easy to get saved, and then they just walk to the first riser, and they just kind of go up a little bit and then go back down, up a little bit, back down, up a little bit, back down. And they never really go on with their walk with Jesus because y'all know as well y'all, as anybody, it takes dedication, it takes service. The world is going to come upon you, and the world is going to press you. And the world is going to try to see what's on the inside of you, and it's going to try to get you to stop your commitment. I never forget years and years ago, Pastor Randy on a Wednesday night, he preached a message on joy, walking in the joy of the Lord, something of that nature. And the message was so good, and it just hit me in the heart. And man, I was like, that's it, man. I am going to walk in joy the rest of my life. I am not going to get discouraged. I'm not going to have a bad day. I am going to walk in the joy of the Lord all the days of my life. And by Friday, I was so beat up and discouraged, I had to call him for a counseling appointment. You know, it's like, holy mackerel, what happened, you know? Been there, done that, you know? And I was like, what? Oh, my God, I wish I'd never even said I was going to walk in joy. I wish I'd just stayed where I was, you know? And there's not a day that goes by in my life that if an adversity comes to me, I do not remember that time. It's as real to me and as alive to me as the day he preached it, you know, gosh, 15, 20 years ago. But see, we come to those risers, and those risers cause us to have to get to that next step. And in that step, then we walk, and then it's fairly easy. We're just learning and maneuvering. We go down that step, but then there's a point that it comes in life, and you hit that riser again. And all through, when you're going in that riser, the devil's trying to get you to compromise. The devil's trying to get you to back off. The devil's trying to get you to quit serving Jesus. He's trying to get you to say there's an easier way. You can go around that step. You don't have to go up that step. And you just keep going around it. And it just is everywhere. There's just a riser. And you spend a whole year just going around that thing. And then you get back and you're at the same place and in front of the same riser. And you got to do it. And no matter how much you think that, surely I have arrived. You know, now I'm on the stage of heaven with Jesus. Nah, it's another riser. It's out there. But I believe in 2010, y'all are going to jump up. And it's a year that it's a year y'all are crested to the top of that riser, and you're about to go over, and you're going to find this plateau that you can walk on, and it's going to be it's going to be a mesa verde, you know. It's going to be a green plateau out there for you. You can just, you know, it's going to be, it can be a great time. Just don't let the devil discourage you and get you to jump off the riser and go back two or three, because then you have to climb them all up again and start all over, okay? That's the whole key. Just don't bail off the back end or get so, you know, awestruck with the riser that's in front of you, you fall off the one in behind you, you know. You know, I get up every day. I get up every day with my heart set to see a miracle, see something happen, see something go on. I want to see something every day. Every day I want to see just God's hand. I'm not looking for, you know, God's span of his hand across the sky. I'm just looking for a little miracle. The other day, it's kind of funny. I was headed over to Uvalde and, driving down the road, and I ran across a guy that was trying to fix a flat tire. Now, what's funny about this whole story is for about 3 days, the Spirit of the Lord had just been on me to put my little hydraulic jack in my truck. And I'd taken it out and done a job, and I kept thinking about, I need to get that thing, and I'd think, I need to get it. And then I would forget to get it, and then I'd go away, and then I'd you know, forget it. And then I'd think the next day, I need to get that little jack, and then I'd go get it, and I'd see it, and I'd start to get it, and then I'd forget it. And this has been 3-4 days it's been going on. Well, this guy stopped on the side of the road, and he's a jack. He needs a jack. He has a jack, but he didn't have a jack handle. And so I got a zillion tools in my truck, and I ain't got no jack handle. I can't even find a jack in my truck. And I'm like, I'm a lot of help. Stop to help somebody. I can't, you know, do anything. And so finally I get down with a coal chisel I had that was about a foot long, and I start working this thing in there. Well, anyway, long story short, we get the car jacked up and fixed, and so, yeah, I was happy I was there to help the guy. And so we're going down the road, and I get going down the road, and my truck starts to vibrate really bad, you know. Front end just shaking. I thought, what's the matter with my truck now, you know? And so I thought, man, it feels funny. I wonder if a U-joint's out or something doesn't feel right. And so long story short, I take it to my buddy, and I say, hey, come drive my truck and see what's wrong. And he says, man, I don't know. He said, I don't know what they said. U-joint. Let's take it back to the shop and jack it up, and we'll check it. As soon as they jacked up, moved the front tire around, and had a big old knot on my front tire just about to pop. And I had to stop and say, now, isn't this funny, Lord? For days you've been telling me about I need to put a jack in my truck. Then here's the guy, and I'm helping him fix a flat, and what you're really probably trying to tell me out of this whole situation is I better look at the front of my own truck. Because I'm about to have a blowout on the road and didn't even know it. I didn't have a jack to fix my own vehicle, you know. So the point I'm trying to say is all those little things like that, you know, you got to be sensitive to the things of God. I believe in 2010, a lot of the little things that God's been saying, you're going to start to see them. It's going to start to happen. You're going to start to see those things happening in your life. You're going to start to see them just coming about and just happening, just happening, just happening. So with all of that said, this came back to me. Now, I didn't elaborate a whole lot on it Sunday morning, but I just feel so strongly about this. Years ago, some of y'all might remember, there used to be a church parsonage over here, and there was a double-wide trailer house, and that's where we lived for a long time. And one morning, I was getting ready to come to service, and I actually, you know, to tell the whole story, somebody had left church, And they left, and they one of the their whatever beefs was is that we didn't have anything in our church that was what is the word? There's a real fancy word here. We never had any responsive readings that went on in our church. And so they were used to more of a traditional church. They wanted responsive readings. And we didn't have anything like that in our church and whatever. And so I it bothered me and whatever. And so I was sitting down that morning. I said, you know, Lord, I don't know. And so the Lord just that quick said, here, write this down. And so I just sat down there with the pen and says, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, one of a kind, uniquely designed for a purpose that only I can fulfill. I wrote down this that we went over Sunday morning. And I mean, just that quick, I just wrote it down, and then he gave me a verse for each one. And then I actually preached this as a message. I don't know if you know me. You know, I stretched it out as long as I could, so I went for months probably on this thing. And then we all, at that time, then I used it for months after that to just go as a responsive reading over it, and that we could all, read it and get it down. Well, the long story is that, I don't know at that time. I mean, we're talking about years ago. Does anybody remember this? How many of y'all remember this? Raise your hand if you remember this. Okay, so I got a few of y'all all around here that remember this. And so at that time in the church, I don't know. I didn't see any great move of God because of it. I was excited and it's changed my life. And I've read this every day, and confessed it and got it down in my heart and believe what it says. But I didn't see any great, it didn't start a revival, that's going to rock the world like I thought. Time goes by, and I have to preach in a church in Arkansas, and I'm preaching at this church, and I use this message, and I share it and go on and whatever. Year goes by, I go back to that church, and this lady comes walking up to me and says, I just want you to know that message changed my life. I took what you did. I wrote it in on my mirror. I quoted it every day. It's changed my life. I will never be the same because of that message. Point being, a lot of times in life, the things that we think, how it's going to line up, we can hear from heaven and think that we have the word for that moment, that it's going to go this way. But God, in his infinite wisdom, has a plan that you just cannot imagine of what it's going to be for. You can't line up. You can't take the things of God and line them up and make it all work out right. And what he may give you for this moment of your life that you think is the thing may actually fit in the piece of the puzzle that's over here that brings victory over there that you didn't even think about, you didn't even know, and not till you step back and look at the big picture, you say, wow, that's why we did that. That's what that was about. Golly, I didn't understand that at the time, and now I see what's going on. Now that makes sense. Y'all with me? Okay. Well, we talked about Sunday that you have a maker. You're created. Each and every one of us are created, right? And until you get this revelation in your heart, you're not going to really have victory, because if you don't believe that you're creative, then that believes you believe you're the creator of your life, and you ain't going to get nowhere. And you're created, but you're created for a purpose, right? So Tracy has a purpose. You have a purpose. It's something that only you can fulfill. You're uniquely designed by God Almighty for a purpose that only you can fulfill. There's some person that would not receive the gospel from anybody in the world but you, and you're here on planet Earth to accomplish that purpose. Amen? Okay. But we miss that point a lot of times because the purpose that we're created for is not us, it's others. Jesus said it's better to give than to receive. He said we're supposed to be putting ourselves in a position. I was reading the Matthew chapter 5 this morning in my daily reading. I was just laughing at myself thinking, I wonder what the face of the crowd looked like on the day that Jesus was given the Beatitudes. And he's got all this crowd mesmerized sitting there looking at him. He's speaking and he says, love your neighbor. Do good to your enemies. Bless those that hate you. And I just wonder what they all feel like. Because I mean, that's tough. If he strikes you on the one cheek, turn the other. In so doing, you're like, I ain't no in so doing that you're going to do, Lord. I want to do some in so doing. Right? And so, but the purpose is others. Now the world doesn't see this. The world right now is greedier than it's ever been in its life. There's a spirit of greed on the face of the earth right now, running rampant like it's never ever been before. Everybody is about greed and getting their finger in the pot somehow. Everybody, from the top to the bottom. But why not? The Bible says in the latter days, there's going to be perilous times. Men are going to be lovers of themselves. So the root of all evil is the love of money. Not money, but the love of it is the root of all evil. So if all evil is loosed on the face of the earth, everybody's going to want a buck. Right? There's nothing wrong with having money. Just loving money is the problem with it. And everybody right now is just as greedy. Everything's about greed. Everything's about greed. Everything's about greed. Okay? But Jesus says we're supposed to be about others. And if you set your sights to be about others, he said, well, then you know what? I'm going to bless you and give you the desire of your heart. As you're trying to figure out how you're going to bless others, I'm going to make sure you're blessed. But the world says, no, wait a minute. Let me get blessed. And when I get blessed and I have plenty, then I'll give. Right? Let me be happy, and then I'll help somebody else be happy. But Jesus says, listen, I just want you to fulfill your purpose in life, and you're created. Humans are created on this earth. You didn't evolve. You were created on this earth for the purpose of ministering Jesus to somebody else. Let's read it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's just start reading verse 12. For we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give an opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God, or is it for the sound, or if we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ compels us. Because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he that died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died, for them who rose again. So he says, look, we've already got this figured out. If Jesus came and died for all, then all have to hear that Jesus died for them. Right? And he says, the reason why we do what we do is not for notoriety, not for boasting, because Paul was having some problems with the church at Corinth. There was other ministries coming in and saying, well, those guys aren't really right, we're right. And there was a big competition going on amongst them. He said, look, our boasting is not that. We're compelled by Jesus to do what we're created to do. Therefore, verse 16, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. For even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Never before had there been a creation, a creature on this earth like you, that could be an eternal spirit housing the presence of Almighty God within you. That you literally became arks of the covenant all over the world. Because see, the Old Testament, man, there was one box and one place that you could go where the box was, where the presence of God was, and that was it, one place. Now all of a sudden, you became the ark of the covenant, carrying about the presence of God everywhere you went. Never before had there been a creation or a creature on the face of the earth like that. You may love your dog, but your dog cannot house the presence of God in it and carry it around. Only humans can. The only way I can even deal with humanity and the depravities that are in humanity that go on that I just want to, you know, that make me sick. The only way I can even deal with it is to realize that every one of those people is a creation of God, and they were created for the purpose of housing His Spirit, yet they have gone off and got full of the devil. Right? Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Christ Jesus and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, reconciliation, it's a banker's term. And if you study that out in the Greek and you look at what that word means, it means just like you reconcile your bank account, your bank statement or your bank account. It's the same principle that you go through and you look at all the accounts and what was paid out, and what was brought in, and you make sure that everything balances so that at the end of it, it's balanced. And he said, look, I balanced your account. I remember when we were first married, my wife, she's always had to keep the books. And you don't ever want somebody like me who has dyslexia to be keeping the books, because I can't, my numbers all backwards. And so she always kept the books. And I remember sitting there, and she was trying to reconcile the bank statement, and she was like 2 cents off or 3 cents off. And she kept trying to find the 3 cents. And I was like, who cares? Forget about the 3 cents. You know, it doesn't matter. And she said, no, you don't understand. You can't do that. You have to find the 3 cents, because the 3 cents grows and you have to do this and you have to make it all reconcile. And I never could understand that until after I'd gotten saved and began to read this. I said, yeah, I don't want 3 cents hanging out on me either. Right? I don't want to get to heaven and through the pearly gates and say, hold on. Your statement doesn't... It's not reconciled. You have an overdue balance here of 3 cents. Right? I'm glad to know that God is a big enough bookkeeper and smart enough that He can reconcile my bank account. My account of life, He can reconcile my account of life. And He reconciles it by the blood of Jesus. He reconciles it and then says, look, now, I've reconciled yours, and so you're supposed to go help others get theirs reconciled. Now, have any of you ever gone through what I talked about? You learned how to get the 3 cents balanced, and then one day you came across somebody that you had to help them get their account balanced. And so you tried to work with them, and you helped them to reconcile their account. That's all it is about getting people saved, getting people to know Jesus. That's all it is going to people and say, my bank account got reconciled. My account in life got reconciled. Let me help you get yours reconciled. That's the whole principle. He says, now, just as yours was, you've given us this ministry of reconciliation. It's a job. It's a ministry. Now, you know, I my wife to this day still keeps the books, you know, and I've had to do up myself and doing job projects and home building and things like that to where I can handle it better. And there's computers today, and there's a lot of other things today that can help make the job easier, right? But the principle is still the same. No matter if you're using Quicken or QuickBooks or whatever, principle is still the same. When it's all said and done, you still got to have the 3 cents. Right? And you see how, just think about this. If you just never got it all reconciled, you would have a half reconciled account, right? And if you kept going, it just kept growing and keep getting bigger and keep getting bigger and keep getting bigger. And so isn't it the same with our lives? If there's things in our lives we never get reconciled and we just keep living life. And so I love Jesus with all my heart and we're doing really good over in this area, but we're not getting everything reconciled in all areas. And see, I see it this way. And because this is the kind of pastor I am. We all make mistakes, and we all need reconciliation. But I believe with all of my heart, no one will ever get reconciled unless they believe God loves them. So my main message is always that God loves you, and God accepts you, and God wants to reconcile you. And this is, I never preach it from the other side and say, you know, you're going to go to hell if you don't get yourself reconciled. I'm not that kind of a preacher, because I just don't believe people are going to want to hear that and get saved because of that. They want to know there is a way out. Amen? So he says, you've been given this ministry of reconciliation. Everyone, not Billy Graham's, not just the pastors, not just, no. Everybody, if you got reconciled, you got a ministry of reconciliation. So somebody says, what do you do? Oh, I'm in the ministry. Ministry of Rot, ministry of reconciliation. Well, what are you reconciling? Men's souls to God. Each and every one of us have that responsibility. Well, I'm not good at speaking. You don't have to be good at speaking. Doesn't have anything to do with public speaking. God didn't say, I want you to be an orator of the Word of God. He didn't say, I want you to be a preacher. He said, everyone has a ministry of reconciliation. Each and every one of us know people that only you can minister to. Only they're going to listen to you. You have the key. You have the resource, the need, the whatever it be that that person has, you have it within you, the capacity, because you have been given a ministry of reconciliation. So, I mean, I don't know how you'd want to, you know, receive your ministry of reconciliation. If you need a piece of paper, I'll write you up one. You here have, here you go, Wizard of Oz. Huh? They all were looking for something at the end. And what did he do? Just pulled out his bag and said, here, oh, you always have had this. And here, this is all you need. The only difference between you and them is you just need this, you know, diploma. Here you go. Here's a diploma. And so I don't know the deal, you know? Right? Needed courage. All you need is a medal. That's all you need. And see, people go through life saying, oh, no, I'm not a preacher. I don't do that. That's not what God asked you to do. It's not what he ever said to do. He said, look, everybody's, if you've been reconciled, you got to help those around you reconcile their bank account. Then here we go. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now, he's committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now, let me just ask you something. If you've been already fearfully and wonderfully created in the image of God, uniquely designed for a purpose that only you can fulfill, then do you not already have the goods in you that you need? But how many times have we been talked out of that we've got the goods that we need and we think we need more goods in order to do whatever, the ministry of reconciliation, right? You need the diploma, you need the medal, you need the whatever. But the whole time, it's all in you. It was always there. Because, see, you need to relax and rest in who you are and where you are. Because, folks, I want to tell you something. You can believe this or not. But whether you do or not does not make it a non-truth. You are where you are today because God wanted you where you are today, right here, sitting in this place. This is where you were called, your purpose is designed for, and those that are around you right now, the ones that God has for you to do your ministry of reconciliation, whether you believe it or not. They said, well, I don't know about that. You know, Pastor, I was just out there in life and just happened to fall here. You didn't have to fall anywhere. You're created. You have a creator. He knows exactly what you're created for. And he is so smart and you're so not. That every time you're thinking you're doing something right or wrong, he was using that to get you where you needed to be, including myself. I laugh to this day that before I ever met Dwayne, I shouldn't even say things like this because I'd like y'all to all think I was saintly, but I wasn't. on a night, on a beer drinking run, out doing something I shouldn't have been doing, I ended up on his ranch poaching. Wasn't until years later, we're out coon hunting one night, and we come across this spot, and I said, "Hey, I've been here." He said, "What were you doing here?" And I said, "Well, huh?" I said, "Don't worry, he didn't do anything, but I was here." And I was there at that spot and then met him years later. How? You see what I'm saying, folks? Every time we think we're doing something and we're so smart, or we think we're so stupid, how could I have done that? God's still working to move you in the place you need to be to have the ministry of reconciliation start to operate in your life that you're already equipped for. You're not waiting for this sonic boom to hit you from above and then bless God, you got it. You're not looking for to see the Virgin Mary crying blood and then bless God, you got the holy touch of God. Then you can go out and do your ministry. He already created you, got you there. You're already there. Cooked a piece of toast and her face appeared and then I knew the ministry of reconciliation was mine. I saw it. They were selling it on eBay. Right? You already got it. You're already equipped. It's already put in you. You say, you remember that? Oh, man. I see, Lord, that stupid thing I did that got me in trouble, and you got me out of it. Now that's the word that you need to speak to so-and-so, because I've already been through that stupid mistake. And the whole time you just thought you were messed up in life and nobody would love you and nothing could work for you and you blew it and you didn't realize that you just really at the right place at the right time, exactly where you needed to be for that time and purpose for you born and created. And he already knew it. He says that it was God in Christ reconciling the world to him. Now we are, verse 20, we are ambassadors for Christ as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Listen to me, you got to understand something. This ministry of reconciliation that you have received because you were reconciled. That's the only reason why you received it. You were reconciled, you got it. Nobody has to lay hands on you. You do not have to be dipped in oil. You got it. It's in you. You've been reconciled. Ministry of reconciliation is on you. You don't need a ring or a diploma. You got it. It's yours. All right? When this revelation hits you, and then you start to do something with it, you become literally the voice of Almighty God speaking. It's not, "Hail thou, O Holy One." No, no, no. That's where people get religious because they start just putting their own twist and spin on it. It's not the perfect words to say. It's not having that beam of light from heaven hit you. And all of a sudden you knew, you know, exactly what you're supposed to say. And it was just happened. No, no, no. It's relaxing in God that he has given you the ministry of reconciliation, that you are equipped and empowered because you're uniquely designed for this purpose that only you could fulfill. And if you're standing there talking to somebody, it's you. Whether you're sowing seed that moment, harvesting the crop, or putting water on seed that's already been there, you're uniquely designed for that purpose that only you can fulfill at that moment in time, and it is God Almighty speaking through you. If you have ever, listen to me, people say, "Well, I've never heard God speak to me." If you have ever encouraged somebody who was discouraged, you've heard God speak through you. You may not have heard him speak to you, but you've at least heard him speak through you. If you've ever walked up to a person who was going through something, whatever, devastating, and you went up to him and said, "I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry this is going on," and you just had some compassion with her, that was Almighty God speaking through you. See, we want to play it down. We want to put it down and say, "Oh, that was just, you know, just me." Listen to me, folks. People are mean and ugly. Without Jesus in life, mean and ugly. They ain't got no goodness in them. If they did, we're up there saying that they're sorry, it's just so they can figure out how to get a buck out of your pocket. Jeremiah says, the heart's deceitfully wicked. Hello. See, God confirms that. Mess with me. It's right over the speakers there. Let's read the rest of it here. "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Wow. So your purpose that you're created for, you're already standing in righteousness because you've been reconciled. And you need to have the confidence to know that you're already equipped, whether you know it or not. Whether you feel as helpless as you've ever felt in your life, whether you feel like you're off base or not, you have to believe that in the moment that you're that it's time for the ministry to operate, the ministry's going to operate. How many times I've gone to somebody as a pastor and not had any idea what to say. And at that moment, God said something. How many times I've gone and prayed for people that I did not feel anointed enough to heal a gnat. Didn't feel even the air conditioner kick on to think it was the breath of God. Felt not a stirring, not a movement, not even the least bit of excitement or a smile or joy or anything. And left the room and then find out that a miracle took place and never knew it. I've prayed for people and left the room and spent years thinking that was the lamest prayer I've ever prayed, only to find out that the person was miraculously healed shortly thereafter, and I never knew it for years until I ran across a person who I wanted to say, "I thought you died." That's sad, but that's true. To see that, listen, folks, you got to get it out of your head looking for firecrackers and bottle rockets every time you do anything. And start getting your faith into the fact that God has already called you to the ministry of reconciliation. He backs you 1,000%. And what he backs you, he's going to speak right out of your mouth. And it's going to be him speaking, not you speaking. And he's going to move miraculously just because you chose to do what he created you to do. You can take a bolt action rifle that should hold 3, possibly 4 shells in it, and you can shoot it as a single shot all your life, and it will function. And you could just wake up one morning and realize you could have put more shells in it and never knew it, and it'd be a revelation to you. Somebody could come up and say, "Why do you do that? Why don't you put a few more, push them down in that little clip? It'll, you get a few more shots." I didn't know that. Be a revelation to him. Change your life. Shoot faster. And that's how we're working in our lives and our ministries. We're just shooting a lot of times. This is a single shot. When we could load up. And I'm telling you tonight, church, 2010, you're going to be amazed at the people that are going to come across your path. Start training yourself right now to wake up every morning. Say, okay, Lord, I'm out here today. You fearfully and wonderfully created me, designed me for this purpose that only I can fulfill. So I want to fulfill it today, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you designed me for greatness. You designed me for destined me for victory, Lord. You got it all prepared. I'm going to go out there, do what you want me to do today, whether I'm aware of it or not. Amen. Look at the person beside you and say, you got it. Amen.